Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Samina Spin, Episode 8, Climb the Mountain. I'm your host, Samina Mughal. Hope everyone is doing well this fine Wednesday evening. Just a reminder, we are live and you can call in if you would like to give me your spin on overcoming fear. That number to call in is 323-642-1775. Once again, the guest call-in number is 323-642-1775. So let's get into it. Like I said, this podcast is going to focus on overcoming our fears. So to start with, I'd like to quote Mark Twain. Courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear. Experiencing fear is not something to be ashamed of. Being a human being comes with the territory. Even animals experience fear. They work through it in whatever way nature tells them to, and they keep moving through life. I like to think that I do that now. But when I was a little girl, I was afraid of everything. I don't know why I was like that. When I learned how to ride a bike, I was afraid to fall. Be honest, I haven't ridden a bike too many times in my life. I never could be bothered. I was afraid of the goddamn escalator because I was afraid of falling down moving steps. I never learned how to swim despite being forced to learn a little bit as a graduation requirement in high school. To this day, I still don't know how to swim. And I'm still working through a fear of the water. Did I have some sort of accident in a pool or lake when I was really small? No. Teaching us kids and getting us kids in the water wasn't a priority for our parents because they never learned how to swim. I don't know what happened, or I don't know how that happened, but it did. Still being afraid as an adult has nothing to do with them. I'm just a little afraid. But I'm working through it. I got over my fear of escalators. Thank God I'm not that big of a chicken shit. But the bike thing and the swimming thing, I kind of let my fears hinder me in both those areas. I say kind of because not riding a bike is not a big deal for me. I've just never really been interested. But not swimming? It's an occupational hazard when you love boats, the beach, and any place with a body of water. Like I said, still working through that one, but I will make sure I learn to swim, that's for certain. It's ironic that I was so fearful as a little girl because I had a brother who was fearless. By far, my best memory of him and what I think of when I think of him. He was the oldest and was 11 years older than me. He tried to teach me and one of my other brothers, not to be fearful. I think because we were both the babies of the family, so we were naturally more coddled and sensitive. So I really think he just wanted us to be strong. When I was 7, he took me to my first haunted house. I always remember how cool it was that my then teenage brother had no qualms hanging out with his younger brothers and sisters. He took me to my first concert, too. The haunted house at 7 may not have been such a good idea. I had my eyes open for about 5 minutes and started to cry. I stopped walking and just stood there crying. He had to carry me out of there. I had buried my face in his chest because I couldn't take looking around me. I was so scared. I don't know if he consciously tried to shake me out of fear, but I know his heart was in the right place. Or he just may have wanted to take his little sister somewhere fun. I don't know. He did a similar thing to my brother, who is the youngest son and the most sensitive. My oldest brother had an extensive album collection, which included heavy metal. he would show his 12-year-old brother some of the scarier album covers just to toughen him up. Although his tactics may not have been the best, his motives were pure. Face whatever it is and get the fuck over it. Sometimes you have to do that in life. I know I've tried to do that in my life most of the time. I've been successful. In my blog, I talk about 5 times I overcame fears in my life. It sure has been more than 5 times I faced a fear or had a fear, but some instances have more of an impact, have had more of an impact on me than others. I've climbed that mountain of fear many times. One of those times was when I first lived alone. I'd spent most of my life either living with family or roommates, so when I bought my first condo, it was the first time I lived completely on my own. The first night that I spent in my condo, I looked around and it was like, shit, it's just me. Laced in that thought were trepidation and apprehension. Then, it's just me. But this time I was excited. Another adventure for me to take on. I'm a catastrophist by nature, so of course, one of my thoughts at that time was, die here, and no one would know for days. Then I brushed that thought aside because I thought if that did occur, it wasn't shit I could do about it. Several times in my house, I had to get over some fears. One of the times that sticks out to me when I was afraid in my house was when I had gone to bed and heard a loud crash in the bathroom. My heart, I really had a moment where I thought someone could be in the house. Then I thought, this is my house. If someone's trying to get me, they're either going with me or losing a limb. I don't go down without a fight. I'm not one of those people who cry or beg for my life. That reminds me of a movie I saw once. Well, I didn't see all of the movie because it irritated me so much that I only watched parts of it. It was a couple in the country who were being terrorized by 3 people in masks. The man had a pillowcase with holes cut out over his head. The 2 women wore duck masks. So these 3 psychotics were terrorizing this couple for the whole evening. By the morning, they tied them up to prepare to stab them to death. The husband wasn't even conscious. He looked beat up too, pretty much on the brink of death. The woman was awake. They hadn't really gotten to her yet. Cried and told them they didn't have to do it. She cried and sobbed. I remember watching that and getting so pissed off. These 3 psychos have been torturing them for the entire night and clearly planned the shit out. Did she really think her tears and her begging were going to move them enough to not kill her and her husband? If anything, it would probably amuse them. I know it's only a movie, but it just irritated me so much because I'm not giving anybody that kind of satisfaction. I'm either finding some way to take part of you or all of you with me, or I'm going to go stone cold, meaning I might look somebody right in the eye while they're trying to kill me. I might let out a fuck you before they go for the first jab or whatever it is they're doing. May I never be in a situation like that. But in any case, I will never go down without a fight. I'll make you work for it. Back to the previous situation. It turns out the noise I heard was a rogue hairdryer that fell on the ceramic tile. I didn't place it on the top shelf in a way that would have prevented it from falling. So it fell. I tell you what, though, before I went in there, I was ready for a fight. If someone was in my house, there was going to be a fight. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had no weapons. I just had me and the fire in my belly, but I was going to do something with it. I told my colleagues about it one of my colleagues, and he got annoyed with me because he was like, what would you have done if they had a gun? I don't remember what I said, but gun or no gun, I probably would have gone down in a blaze of glory. Fuck cowering. Not in me. I just refuse to live in fear of what might happen. Although there are times when I have been afraid of what might happen. Like when I first started writing and let it become the passion it has become, I was so afraid of judgment. I was afraid that I sucked or that people would tell me I sucked. So it wasn't common knowledge that I was writing. Like I kept it real close to the vest. I pretty much wrote my first book without anyone knowing. Once I wrote my first book and got a taste for storytelling and the exhilaration that comes with it, that's when I started thinking that this is what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I started to get over the fear of judgment. There are writers who are really well known, like J.K. Rowling and George R.R. Martin, who do what they do and are not walking around worrying about what people think. Since it's a big world, there are people who don't like what they do. It doesn't affect them because they don't let it. That led me to the realization that there are people who will love what I do, hate what I do, or won't give a shit either way. That's okay. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. I don't fear it because I love what I do. I love what I write. I put love, care, and thought into what I write. That's enough for me. The whole process of creation, coming up with an idea, working it through, is everything. It's the process. Like any artist, I do go through those thoughts of, is it good enough? But I plow through those now. There's always something in you as an artist that just says, ooh, it's a good little bit. But you get through it, you plow through it. If it's good enough for me, it is good enough. At the end of the day, I do anything half-assed anyway. So I will always have that comfort of knowing that I give 100%. And that's enough. Probably the biggest mountain of fear I've ever climbed is probably the biggest mountain for most people, the fear of failure. I'm getting over that. I still have peaks that I need to go over. Maybe not peaks so much as hills, but I've gotten over the highest ones. When I took an early retirement from teaching to write full-time, it took me a year and a half to arrive at that decision. I had to ponder it. I had to just make sure, all right, are you just in a rut, or you know, what's really happening here? Then I realized it wasn't just a rut. I know what a cliche this is, but it is the truth. I had to follow my heart. I had to follow the passion because teaching wasn't it anymore. That's bad for me. That's bad for the students. If I'm just showing up in a school and teaching because I get a paycheck and health benefits, that's the worst thing I could do to myself and the students. So I took that retirement to do something that ignited my passion again. I've only been a full-time writer for only a couple years. I consider myself a newbie. I'm still learning the industry, the ins and outs, and all that good stuff. At first, I was worried that my newness would lead me to fuck up royally, because I'm very much about my work. Like, even with my blogs, sometimes I learn new things, like in terms of weird stuff that can happen that can throw off the look of your blog. And that happened to me recently, and I was so upset because that's my work. I don't want my work to be shitty because that's representative of me. I don't accept shitty. So I had to just accept that sometimes there will be growing pains. There will be mistakes, but they won't be fatal. So yeah, I won't get fucked up royally if I make a mistake, which doesn't happen that often. And I got over that because when you're new at something, you fuck up sometimes. Even when you're not new at something, you fuck up sometimes. You just learn from it and you keep moving. So fucking up is not equivalent to failure. Fucking up and giving up, that's equivalent to failure. Then I realized I was a great teacher. At the end of my 17-some years, I ended as a great teacher. I was. And I fucked that up sometimes when I first started out. So here you go. You know, I fucked up at something, but I became great at it. So same thing with the writing. And I know as a writer and an artist, I will have that doubt, like I just said. I think anyone who makes art has that little bit of doubt. That will be there. I know it'll be there. There'll be some little voice asking me, is it decent? Does it suck? Or am I just too invested that I don't recognize that it sucks? I know that'll come in my head. But I know I don't suck. I don't. I know I'm a strong writer. I just have to make sure that I believe that every day. Whatever I do, whatever fear that I have, I just have to make sure that I believe in me at the end of the day. So that's one of the main ways I overcome fear. I make sure I believe in me when all said and done. That's what overcoming fear is all about. Believing in yourself more than you believe in that fear. The way I feel about it, you shouldn't believe in anything more than you believe in yourself. In Little Women, Louisa May Alcott said, "I am not afraid of storms, for I am learning how to sail my ship." I've never been afraid to sail my ship. I just know where to sail it now. If you like what you've heard tonight in this podcast and would like to hear more, I have two books available on Amazon, Scheherazade's Daughters and the Siddiqui Brothers in Cairo. If you would like to read my Behind and Beyond the Veil blog, you can check it out on www.taminakmogul.com. Click on the Behind and Beyond the Veil blog link. Thank you for joining me this evening. Until next time, that's the Samina Spin. Good night and love and light.